Welcome to Her Leading Story, a podcast that will inspire you with stories from amazing female leaders and give you some ideas to help you design a life and a career that's perfect for you. It's totally doable, and the good news is that you'll have me and our community of leading women by your side every single step of the way. Let's get started. I'm your host, Julie Artis, and this is Her Leading Story. Hello, hello. This is Julie Artis, and welcome back to Her Leading Story. I'm so excited you're here, and this is going to be a solo episode in which I cover the topic of negotiation. This was inspired by part of the podcast I did a couple of weeks ago when I interviewed Susan Dennehy, and she talked a little bit at the end of the episode. If you haven't heard it, go back. It's really interesting. She's changed positions every 2 or 3 years since I've known her. When Susan was negotiating for her new job, she negotiated for the very first time. She'd never done so before in any of the other jobs she'd had. And we talked a little bit about it on the podcast, but I've talked to her also about it off the podcast. Just how so many of us women at mid-career in our 40s and 50s were socialized at a time when women negotiating, asking for what they're worth, stating what their value was at least I was socialized that that was kind of selfish, right? If I was asking for something for myself. And I know, and you can tell from the statistics, given the differential in pay wage, but also in studies that have been done in the effectiveness of negotiation, that women on average negotiate with less effectiveness than men, especially when we're talking about negotiating for a salary bump or something that's for themselves. So I wanted to take a little time in this episode to unpack this gendered aspect of negotiation, but also to really say something that might be a little controversial, which is that I think that women actually have the potential to be better negotiators than men in a lot of circumstances. And let me explain a little bit about what I mean by that. Women have been socialized, in addition to not being selfish, to put others' needs in front of our own. We've also been in a position where we have had to watch people and communicate very carefully, right? So most women have been socialized to check their environment, to notice nonverbals, to read the room, so to speak, right? And those are communication skills that are invaluable in the middle of a negotiation, which is essentially a conversation or a communication, right? So one of the things that I want to dispel is that negotiation is something that if you are thinking about entering into an ask at your own workplace, that you should be afraid of, right? I mean, it all starts with the courage for asking for what you want. That's where it starts. To ask for what you know you're worth, to ask for the kind of compensation that anybody doing the job would get paid, no matter what their characteristics. And so how do we do this? Well, I mean, there's a few components here, right? And every situation is different. But in general, what I think it really boils down to is doing your research, whether that's through looking through data or having lots of conversations with your network or your colleagues or peers at other organizations like yourself about what you can ask for. There's an aspect of this is very research-based, and that will give you some, I think that helps build confidence so that you know that what you're asking for isn't out of left field and out of range, right? So that's one aspect. The other aspect is really, as I said, all about communication and communication with confidence. And because of our socialization, I think the real thing to work on here is your confidence. So you might then say, well, okay, well, Julie, how the hell do I work on my confidence, right? Like, what does it mean to be more confident? So there's a few things I think that you can do to work on confidence in this kind of a context, right? So first, looking at that research that you have and knowing what your own skills and strengths are can be incredibly important. I was just working with a client who is considering a pivot to a different career. And we did a strengths assessment with the Clifton Strengths Finder. And she realized that what she was really good at was this one thing. And it did, I mean, it all made sense. In fact, she said, oh, that's kind of boring. But it also slightly altered the kinds of job positions that we thought she should go for, right? And I think that's really important here because you want to be able, you need to know to the core of your very being the value that you bring, that you know that you are good at skill A, skill B, and skill C, and that you bring a lot to the table. And when you truly know that and truly believe that inside, that inspires a lot of confidence, especially if you also have done your research and you know that the upper level managers at your organization or the hiring manager somewhere where you're negotiating for a new position, that is at the top of their list, that this is really deeply something that they need, right? So they need something and you're providing it. And so making sure that you are truly believing in your skills and you've done the discussions, networking, et cetera, data diving that you need to do in order to know what kind of value, skills, and strengths you're going to bring to the table and how that's going to really affect the organization, the team in the organization that you're going to be joining, and so on and so forth, right? Because when you have that level of confidence, you're able to then ask for what you want from a stronger place, from a more grounded, I know this is what I should be getting kind of a place. So that's one piece, the confidence. Now, that still doesn't mean that you're not going to be nervous or it's going to feel super comfortable. Like, I think one of the things that we have to remember is that having these kinds of conversations that relate so deeply to, I'm going to nerd out here and say Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is just the like fancy sociology, anthropology way of saying that we all need food and shelter and we all need safety. And so what's weird about our society is that we need money in order to trade for those very basic things, right? And so what happens when we're negotiating is our brain gets hijacked because we're thinking, oh my God, I won't be able to afford my mortgage, or I'm never going to be able to get what I need, or what if they don't give me that, or something like that. So this is where really understanding what target you need to have, what's your non-negotiable in terms of whether it's health benefits, whether it's flexible scheduling, whether it's your salary, you have to pay attention to your non-negotiables for what you're willing to take on or do or not do within, if you're looking for a new position or if you're asking for some flexibility at your own work. And so being able to understand that, yes, I get why I'm nervous, I get that, but also my bigger why is that I need to provide for my family. I need to make sure that I can provide healthcare since my, you know, partner is a contractor and doesn't have it. So there's a lot of nuances here in terms of the intersection between like what's non-negotiable for you, how the job fits what your strengths are, and then how you can build up your confidence going into the conversation. And know that it's still going to be uncomfortable and that you will likely feel quite nervous as you are in the midst of this kind of a negotiation. And this is where really working with someone like me, a coach, or somebody else can be very, very supportive as you're going through either a job change or you're looking for a promotion and you're wanting a raise. Because what we can work on is A, making sure that you know what your strengths are, doing that research to know what's possible, understanding and articulating your non-negotiables, building up your confidence, and then using the tools that we have from neuroscience in order to calm down your nervous system as you're emailing or entering into a conversation about a possible raise or jump in your salary. Those things in combination together will set you up for success, right? And I know I've talked here about how to calm your nervous system right before a difficult conversation or a high-stakes conversation, which I think negotiations often are. And I teach a variety of tools on this. I'll demonstrate one of them here, which is really simple, and I will have a video about this linked in the show notes. One of the things that you can do to really, really calm yourself down when you're entering into a negotiation or any high-stakes conversation is to just get a moment away from things, although you can do this in a crowded room too, which is why I think it's so powerful to have in your back pocket, is to fix your gaze on something in the distance. Take a couple of deep breaths, right? So you won't really see this on the video because I'm not really doing anything except for fixing my gaze. But then what you want to do is like use your peripheral vision to widen out like what you see. What can you see out of the corner of your eye in the right side of the room and the left side of the room? Maybe what can you see above? Like I can see the lamp above me. I can kind of see the windows or the light shining in through the windows to the side. Catalog those in your brain and keep breathing. Then imagine your peripheral vision is even going more than just 180 degrees around you, right? But that it's like almost like you could see behind yourself, right? That you're broadening your vision so, so much that you can see or sense what's behind you. Take a deep breath. And just doing this simple broadening of your peripheral vision in a couple of minutes in the corner of a room while you're walking down the street can really help what we call downregulate your nervous system, can calm you down and have you entering into a situation from a place of calm groundedness rather than like really freaking out, right? And so it's something, these kinds of neuroscience-based tools are things that I like to share with my clients to prepare themselves for high-stakes conversations like negotiation after we've gone through the work that needs to be done on the other pieces. The reason that this peripheral vision exercise works is because there's all this research that shows that when you're anxious and really, really have a heightened like sense of you're nervous, your body's feels like really revved up, often your eyesight is penciled in and focused on one thing. So like, for example, your phone, right? Or the computer. And that there's something about like keeping your gaze, like your actual pupils on a fixed spot and then widening your peripheral vision that shows the neural networks in your brain that there's something bigger here, right? That it's not so like scary and narrow focused. And so that's my very scientific, unscientific explanation of exactly why peripheral vision works and is a tool that I share with my clients all the time. I hope that you found my thoughts on negotiation and especially about developing confidence and calming your nerves to be helpful. And I hope you also agree with me that women can be just as good at negotiation, if not better, than men. And I would love to support any of you who are entering into any kind of negotiation and you're thinking that you could really, really benefit from the support of someone who knows what it's like to go through these things and has a lot of tools to both help with confidence and the nerves, but also the communication and the research. If you're interested, of course, you can always sign up for a Voice Your Value call with me. That's a totally free call at voiceyourvaluecall.com. And I would love, love, love to support you in this. I hope you're having a good week and that you enjoyed this episode of Her Leading Story. I'll see you soon. And that's a wrap on this episode of Her Leading Story. If you love this episode, please help me reach more women by leaving a review wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week.
This has been an Awkward Sage production.